Folks, we have this is going to be a fantastic message today. You're going to hear five different topics from five of the folks that sit amongst all of us together as part of our congregation. We're going to take a look at different aspects of what Christianity kind of looks like to them. And we're going to kick it off here with a wonderful video from Everett Follett, and he is going to share a little bit of his perspective on what grace looks like to him.
I have been asked to share my understanding of God's grace to me. Grace was a concept that I struggled to understand as I attended Sunday school and later as an adult. In a way, I perceived God's grace in a similar manner to how I thought I understood my parents' love. That is, if there was something I really wanted, go to a movie, get a new baseball glove, the wise thing to do was to do my chores without complaining, and even offer to do extra things with the thought that this would enhance my chances of earning their favor. As a result, I did things that I thought would please God. Go to Sunday school, attend church regularly, pray before each meal, not cheat on my schoolwork, and thus earn God's grace. This way of thinking continued until I attended a United Methodist Men's Congress where I heard Maurice Boyd share his thoughts about what John Wesley called prevenient grace. What he said was so simple and yet a challenge to live by. His message was very clear. God's love, that is grace, for us has been with us from the day we were born and will continue for as long as we exist. This is not something we can earn by good work or right belief, nor can it be lost by inappropriate behavior. Ideally, when we realize God's gift of grace to us, we respond in loving ways that affirms the relationship God desires to have with us. One story that Boyd shared with us had to do with an incident that had occurred when he had attended a county fair with his small daughter. Somehow, she managed to wander off without him noticing it. Needless to say, he was panic-stricken as he imagined all sorts of things that might have happened to his little daughter. After some frantic searching, he found her enjoying the attention of many strangers. As he picked her up, he commented that she didn't realize she was lost until he found her. The message is clear. God is with us, whether we realize it or not, and wants this to be a special relationship with us. Finally, I would close with a quote from another biblical scholar, Marcus Borg. When asked to explain his understanding of grace, he shared some thoughts but ended with this comment. If there is any requirement associated with it, such as repenting for our sins or having the right beliefs, it isn't grace. The good news, then, is we already have God's grace. The bad news is this includes some people we might not like.
Isn't that just awesome to think, you know, God's grace? Not something we have to earn. It's just there for us. Just there for us. Thank you, Everett. So Everett reminds us and talks a little bit about what grace looks like and as we walk in our Christian journey. And I'll introduce to you my daughter. Ambry is going to speak a little bit on the judging of others. And she's bringing it to you from a perspective that judging happens quite often where she goes and does what she does every day. And it's in that middle school. So she's going to bring some judgment as it relates to being in middle school.
Okay. If you didn't know already, my name's Ambry Zanton. You might know me as that one really tall and annoying junior high school kid. Anyway, I'm going to be talking about judging. Judging is a problem in everyone's life, and I can guarantee you that. But it's especially a problem in middle school. I'm going into eighth grade, so I've had a couple years' experience with middle school and how kind of awful it can be. One of its worst problems is judging. I have a few examples that I've seen. I have two really good friends who are both judged for what they look like and how they act. And the judging and rumors that have kind of circulated around them is really sad. I haven't heard many details since I try to stay away from gossip as much as I can, but I've heard probably the worst thing is them worshiping Satan, but they're some of the nicest people I've ever met, and it's really sad and just not very fair. In everyday life, it's not much better. People judge others for things as minor as culture, color of skin, or religion. I admit that I have done it too. An example of this is a girl that I met not too long ago. She has very different views and political beliefs than me. I thought this made her a bad person, and so I stayed away from her as best as I could. But we ended up having a conversation. I thought that she would be shoving her views down my throat, but no, we actually had a perfectly normal conversation, became kind of like semi-friends or acquaintances. There's plenty of stories about judging in the Bible. Flip to almost any page, and there's something to do with judging. Luke 6:37 sums up what I'm trying to say pretty well. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Basically, nothing ever good comes out of judging, and I know it's hard not to, but give people a chance, because you never know. They're probably better than you think.
Thank you, Ambry. A perspective of... a perspective on judgments as it pertains to someone who, as the kids that are in that, in the middle of that all the time in middle school and high school. So now we've had a great opportunity to hear from Everett and his perspectives and taking a look at grace and the judgment of others. And now I have a chance to introduce to you my mother-in-law, Pastor Jennifer Cedar. She has recently retired from the ministry. She served as a Methodist pastor in the state of Illinois and recently retired around the 1st of July. She and Grandpa John have made Spearfish their home. And she is going to speak a little bit on the colors of our church and a little bit about the seasons of our church as well. Pastor Jennifer.
Thank you, Earl. Earl is his middle name. I just thought I'd... Anyway. As Dave said, I'm mother-in-law and mother to Jessica that's in the back, and Ambry's grandma that just... Ambry was just up here speaking to you, and little Ashu who's upstairs in the nursery. Dave mentioned that I just retired 30 years of ministry as an elder in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. And all those times that we've come to Spearfish to see the kids, we just fell in love with this area and have worshiped here several times and decided to pack everything up, move 1,000 miles, and make Spearfish our new home. And I'm very, very pleased to be here at the church. You know, I grew up as a preacher's kid. My dad was a Disciples of Christ pastor. And until after I was married and had young children, I attended a Disciples of Christ church, and they really didn't celebrate the seasons of the year as we do in the United Methodist Church. They did Christmas and they did Easter, you know, the big high holy days, but the rest of the year was just kind of normal time. And when I started going to the United Methodist Church, I kind of got excited. I'm a very right brain person, very visual, and I love the colors of the church that would introduce the new season. So Pastor Scott last week, he said, I want you to talk about colors. And I looked at him a little puzzled, and then I said, you mean liturgical colors? And he said, yes. Yes, liturgical colors. So one of the things that I really noted in the United Methodist Church is that it was the emphasis placed on the first season of the new year. I always thought New Year's began January 1. But in the church, it actually begins that first Sunday of Advent. And our color here is blue. And that takes us through the four Sundays that prepare our hearts to celebrate again the birth of Jesus. And on Christmas Day, the color goes to white. And then there's two Sundays following that where the color is white again. Epiphany, which is...
when the wise men come and say hello to baby Jesus.
Wise men come and say hi to baby Jesus. Yes, they bring their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then the next Sunday is Epiphany, and that's when we met, or excuse me, the next Sunday is the Baptism of the Lord Sunday, where Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin John the Baptist. And we hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And that's how we get that symbol of the descending dove. And then we continue in what is called the season of Epiphany, and it is green. And then we come to the season of Lent. And Lent in this church is a maroon color. And during Lent, we begin with Ash Wednesday, and then Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then the first Sunday following that is Easter Sunday, where it goes to white for the resurrection of our Lord. And then one Sunday that isn't really talked a lot about in the United Methodist Church, which I think holds a huge emphasis, is that of Pentecost Sunday. You know, when I talk to the little kids, I always talk about that being the birthday of the church, and it's their birthday because they are the church. But it is even more than that. That's when the power and the Spirit of God descended upon those disciples. It was on the day of Pentecost. And each one of us here as a follower of Jesus is filled with the very same Spirit that they were filled with on that day. And then there's a larger one up there. The green is called the Ordinary Time. That's where we are right now. We're in the green portion of the year. There is more green than any other color within the Christian year. But that doesn't mean ordinary, even though it's called Ordinary Time. I think that's an extraordinary time. It's a time when we can grow in our faith, grow more and more in love with God, following in the footsteps of Jesus, loving both God and loving our neighbor. So I have grown personally in my journey of faith, and the colors just help enhance the whole story of our journey with God and our journey with one another. I hope that you enjoy your journey.
Thank you, Pastor Jennifer, for the words on the colors and the seasons of our church. And now, Joanne Hoffman, through a video, is going to share some very touching words about her journey.
Hello. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's Psalm 73. 25 through 26, and verse 29. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge forever. Also, peace like a river attends my soul, and joy from the Lord is my strength. Scott asked me to express some of my thoughts about my journey as my body prepares to die. It's hard to talk about for lots of us, but there is a freedom of thought when we share those times with those we trust, especially while figuring out your own feelings. Such sharing makes for clarity, peace, and joy. When the doctor told me initially that I had cancer, it was totally unexpected. I felt a sudden peace in my spirit, something very new and puzzling, yet not a puzzle. That calm and peace in my spirit from the first made it easier to tell my scattered family and friends. My other comfort word, joy, came several days later, though it has always been an emphasis at Christmas time. Before passing on the news, both initially and again this past April when the cancer came back, I chose to take a few days to myself to remember my two touchstones, peace and joy. Joy has always been a major part of my life. And thank you, Lord, for Janet, my dear friend, who first identified to me the joy she saw in me. Remember that regardless of what happens in your life, always emphasize to yourself how you know that God has it all figured out for your eventual best. You know why? Because you and I are precious in His sight.
Wonderful words from Joanna. She speaks of joy and all of that that goes along with being in your Christian walk. So we've heard from so many wonderful folks, and we're going to conclude a little bit here now as Allison shares just a little bit about membership.
So this all started when I went home last weekend, and I was sitting in church, and my brother was the last one in the aisle, and so I was like, oh, I'll just sign him in, and we can pass it back down. Well, I checked member, and he goes, Allison, you have to change that to attends regularly, because I'm not confirmed yet. He's going to be 15 this year. Well, I realized this was kind of one of those things that kind of gets pushed aside, because they have a new member Sunday, typically, and I just never thought anything of it because I've always just been a member of the church. But as Orvette and I were talking on Tuesday, I think, when Pastor Scott asked me, she was like, there's people in the church who aren't members, and yet they've attended for so many years that they're basically members. They just don't have a little asterisk next to their name in like the directory. And it's just so funny because when you think of it, if you treat others sitting next to you as they're not a member, they can't be a part of our group, think about how many groups wouldn't be possible in the church. It's funny to think that. And as we heard from Ambry about judging, making sure that we don't judge others about whether they're members or they're not members is really important, because at one point, all of us were probably not members of one church that we attended.
Thank you, Allison. So now we've heard it. We've heard from Everett talking about grace, and Ambry about the judging of others, and Pastor Jennifer about the colors of our church seasons, Joanne about joy in our journey with Christ, and Allison about membership and what all that kind of looks like. So may it be this week that you're able to reflect on all that you have heard today from all of the folks that spoke to us today about their walk through Christ, and you are able to think about your own walk with Christ and that what that means to you. And may all of that be in Christ.